Hello, and welcome to the Psych and Business Podcast, where we highlight the integration of psychology and psychological principles into the world of business and organizations. I'm your host, Dr. Ernest Wade. So today we're going to go back to talking about team effectiveness models, and we're going to talk specifically about Hackman's team effectiveness model developed by Richard Hackman. Dr. Hackman is another psychologist and researcher, and he taught social and organizational psychology at both Yale and Harvard, and has numerous books on leading teams. Now, Hackman's model emphasizes the importance of creating an overall system, not just on focusing on individual characteristics or behaviors. So it really focuses on the team behavior and the team perspective. The model is widely used in various settings, including in businesses, educational institutions, and nonprofit organizations, and has been for a while. Hackman's view is that a team leader's main responsibility is to create and maintain five conditions, which we'll talk about as we go through, but believing that if you create and maintain these five conditions, it will help to increase the chances that a team will be effective over time in whatever task that they're performing. And team effectiveness is measured in this condition by three things, specifically that the team product is acceptable to clients, so whatever it is that the team is doing is acceptable to the clients. The second one is that the team will grow in its capability. So whatever the team is doing, it'll grow in its capability to perform those actions or create those products or offer those services. And the third one is that the group experience is meaningful and satisfying to the members of the group. So these five conditions really need to be present for a team to function at its best. And these five conditions really emphasize both the task and the social aspects of teamwork. So let's go through the breakdown of the five conditions. Now, the five conditions are broken down into two sections. The first section is really made up of three of these conditions, which really emphasizes the core effectiveness of a team. So by focusing on these first three conditions, you are focusing on the effectiveness of the team. So let's talk about the first one. The first one is that the team has to be a real team, not just a group of individuals doing work next to each other. And there are a few things that you can do to make sure that this is actually being met. The first one is that the task or activity that the team is doing is a shared task. So by this, I mean that team members have to work on a common goal or set of activities. They are interdependent on each other and they contribute to the success of each other. This is different than just a group of individuals or various groups that simply work alongside each other. Hackman calls that co-acting groups. Co-acting groups perform tasks that are related but not necessarily depend on each other for success. So the key here is that when you are designing the task, it needs to be a team-oriented task in that a team is required to complete the task in order for it to be successful. It can't be something that can be done or completed by individuals. The second one when we're talking about a real team is that it's got to have clear boundaries. Team has a defined membership, and it's clear who's in the team and who's out of the team. Without this clear boundary, you risk unbounded teams. And by unbounded teams, you have teams that don't have clear membership. The boundaries are basically too fluid, and the team members get caught up in the inconsistencies of team membership. So it's really necessary to have clarity of the core team members. And I've seen this a lot of times in executive teams where you have executive teams where the directors or the executives attend, and sometimes the assistants attend, and it can be very challenging to determine what is the actual core team. So it's really important to have clear boundaries when you're creating the real team. And then the third one is that the team needs to have specific team authority. The team must have clearly and explicitly known and understood authority to help them set their direction, design the work or the task that they have to do, execute the work or the task that they have to do, manage and monitor its activities to make sure that they are complete and as intended. The fourth area that we've got to talk about for real teams is stable membership. And this is in line with what we talked about in terms of clear boundaries. You need to make sure that the members have enough time together to develop trust, communication, and shared understanding. And we've talked about this numerous times with other team effectiveness models. It's really important that when you are creating a team, that there is absolute trust and clear communication. The next condition we'll talk about is compelling direction. And by this, I mean for a team and its work, there needs to be clear direction, there needs to be engagement, and there needs to be a choice for employees to actually choose to engage in that work. It really encourages that employee engagement in the work that you're doing. So when we're talking about energizing the employees, the work needs to be challenging. Challenging work will energize your employees and leads to that enhanced motivation. Meaningful work for a team that has clear goals, is challenging and significant, motivates the members of the team to contribute. The second one is orientation. You need to make sure that there is clarity in the work that you're doing. This builds specific goals that are well-defined, allows the team to track their progress, celebrate their achievements, and also assist the team in decision-making and allocation of resources. It makes sure that everybody is oriented towards the same goal and creates that alignment in terms of strategy and purpose. The third one is engagement, and this really comes from consequential work. When employees are engaged in consequential work, it encourages them to utilize their full knowledge and skills. It allows them to take advantage of their talent as a team to be successful overall. The third condition is structure, enabling structure to facilitate rather than impede work. And there's a number of things that you can do here. The first one is make sure that you have the right size and mix of individuals in the team. The team must be large enough to have diverse perspectives, but small enough to have effective communication and coordination. And it needs to be diverse enough to have all the skills, but you also need to be mindful of interpersonal harmony when you're creating the team. The team also needs to have complementary skills. Members need to have the necessary skills and expertise to be able to complete the tasks effectively. So that means that you need to make sure that there is enough variety in the skills required to complete the task. There needs to be clear roles and responsibilities. Each member must clearly understand their individual roles and how it contributes to the success of the team's goal. Alongside with this, you have to establish norms of conduct. What behaviors are acceptable or not? One of my favorite sayings comes from a client that I've worked with, and she says, "You promote what you permit." So you need to be careful what you allow in terms of behavior, because if you allow it, you are promoting it. If you permit that behavior, you are promoting it. In terms of structure, we also need to make sure that we're thinking about and designing the appropriate task characteristics. So for this, you really need to make sure that you're considering the variety of the skills, the specifics of the tasks, the significance of the tasks, coupled with the autonomy and feedback, are all essential elements when considering what kind and how much structure a team needs. So those are three core conditions that are really necessary for team effectiveness. Now, the next two conditions work to benefit the team, but come from external supportive design elements to enhance effectiveness. So the fourth condition, which is external, comes from working within supportive organizational context. And for this, you really need to make sure that there are adequate resources. The team needs to have the appropriate tools, equipment, and information that it needs to do its job. There needs to be recognition, rewards, and reinforcement. Members must be acknowledged and rewarded for their contribution, both individually and as a team, to reinforce positive individual and team behaviors. There needs to be clear feedback. There needs to be regular and constructive feedback to help the team learn and improve. And then there needs to be opportunities for learning and development. The team must have access to training and resources to enhance their skills and knowledge continually and consistently over time. The fifth condition is coaching and leadership. You need to make sure that there is appropriate coaching and leadership in terms of team coaching, which is really about group processes. So by effective leadership, we're talking about team leaders that provide guidance, support, and facilitation to help the team achieve its goals. You need to have coaching and development of individuals and the team. The leader needs to help individual members and the team grow and develop their skills. And then there needs to be conflict management. Within any team, conflict will come up. So the leader needs to help the team manage conflict constructively to find solutions. So Hackman says by addressing these five conditions, in the model, the team can achieve high levels of satisfaction, performance, and personal growth. So to review, the three key conditions internally are that you need to have a real team that works in a compelling direction and enable structure. The two external factors are that you need to have a supportive organizational context and you need to have expert leadership and coaching. Okay, so that's Hackman's team effectiveness model. I hope this has been helpful and I hope you join us again. Thank you.